Hello, guys, and welcome to the Racing Postcast. I'm Ben Blackmore, standing in for Bruce Millington, who's having some well-earned time off during the festive period. We're here to preview all of the weekend's ITV racing action at Cheltenham, Tramore and Musselburgh. And I'm delighted to be joined by two top judges in the form of Keith Melrose and Tom Collins. And guys, before we get into the racing on New Year's Day, let's quickly talk about New Year's Eve. Keith, are you a fan of New Year's Eve? Is it slightly overrated in your book? And have you got any plans this evening?
Well, I'm sort of 35 now, so I'm getting that age now where New Year's Eve, you'd think, starts to get a bit old hat, but I'm old before my time. And I've not been, it's sort of fashionable to not be a fan of New Year's Eve these days, I find. You know, I don't mind it, and it's a good excuse to go and do something, but I'm from Edinburgh and was never really one for the massive 100,000 people parties for reasons you can probably guess. But tonight I'm going to let my wife go out and I'm going to look after the kids, so it'll just be a bottle of port for me on my own. So I'll see how I get on with that.
Excellent stuff. And Tom, are you a fan of New Year's Eve?
Yeah, I mean, I used to be, Ben. Back in the uni days, I say that like it was ages ago, but it was only a handful of years ago. I'd go out every New Year's and whatnot, but I'm the ripe old age of 26 now. So yeah, I haven't been out for a couple of years, and I won't be going out this evening either. Probably just watching a bit of TV and have a drink with a girlfriend. Maybe a bit of Aqueduct as well. You know, the horse racing never stops.
Excellent stuff. Okay, let's get into the racing then, and we'll start at Cheltenham, where a crowd of 30,000 is expected. Obviously, one of their biggest crowds outside of the festival. I mean, it seems very strange considering, you know, the Chepstow hosted their Welsh Grand National meeting without any crowds, sort of just 4 days ago.
Well, the other thing, of course, Ben, is that Musselburgh won't have anybody but owners and trainers there.
Oh, yes.
On the same card.
Yeah, the same day, but without just a few miles down the road. Well, I say a few miles, a few hundred miles down the road, but there's still no crowds at Musselburgh. So that's an interesting angle. We'll start off with the 125 at Cheltenham, the Grade 2 Paddy Power Novices Chase. I'll just run through the prices. We've got nine runners. La Homme Press is a 7-4 favourite. Miller's Bank for trainer Alex Hales at 7-2. The Glancing Queen, who comes into this race with a couple of wins, at 7-2. Then further down the field, you've got Come On Teddy, 9-1. Oscar Elite, 11-1. And 12-1. Bar. We'll start with you, Keith. Is there anything in this race that caught your eye?
Yeah, Long Press probably deserves to be favourite. And if you've been purely by visual impressions at Ascot, you could see his value at 7-4. The bare form of it didn't jump out at me particularly, but the time was actually quite good on, certainly the finishing time. He was a bit quicker than the good handicappers that came over the same course and distance later on the card and did it on a bridle. So there's a little bit of, we don't know quite what he is yet. It's much softer ground than he's run over in Britain so far. And, you know, Cheltenham's a very different track in a lot of ways to these. So I've been really taken with how the Glancing Queen's taken to fences. She's obviously won in Mayor's company both times and novice listed races for Mayor's. So those don't take anything like the same winning as a dipper normally would, albeit I think this is quite a weak dipper. But she's been really impressive in how she's taken to it. She does get the weight from everybody, albeit less than she would because she has won at listed level so far. You know, the prices at the moment, 7-4 Long Press, 7-2 the Glancing Queen. Neither's definitely a bet for me at those prices, but I would be keen to have a go at the Glancing Queen if she went out just a little bit, because I think she's really taken to it and this is not a strong renewal.
Excellent stuff. And Tom?
Yeah, well, I completely agree with what Keith said. I think the race revolves around both of those two horses. Long Press was extremely impressive, I thought, Ascot last time, especially given he jumped markedly out to the left the whole way. Did that at Sandown earlier in his career as well. So I'm not quite sure why connections are going have been going right-handed with him. The switch to going around a left-handed track is definitely going to suit, provide any, you know, he handles Cheltenham, which isn't necessarily a guarantee. The money came for him last time as well. They knew that he was well handicapped off a mark of 1.36. He was 4-1 into 6-5. So interesting to see if he shortens up further from the opening show of 7-4. I think he's the most likely winner of the race. If I was to have a bet in the race, which I won't be, it will be back in the Glancing Queen without the favourite. Not quite sure what price she is in that market right now, but I wouldn't imagine she'd be too much shorter than around 11-10. Or actually, no, she'd be bigger than that, won't she? She'd be about 6-4. I'll probably play her in that market, but I think this race revolves around the favourite. If Lompress is good enough to win that race at Ascot, jumping miles out to the left and still win by a double-digit winning margin, if he handles Cheltenham, he should win this race too.
Excellent stuff. And we'll move on to the 2 o'clock now. It's the Paddy Power New Year's Day Handicap Chase. We've got 16 runners in this, a very competitive handicap, to say the least. Al Nadam is your 11-2 favourite. Cool Cody coming off that Racing Post Gold Cup success at 6-1. Funambale Sivola at 7-1 for Charlie Deutsch and Venetia Williams. Zanza, the good old Zanza, Keith's friend Zanza, and G-Rod obviously likes a mention of Zanza as well, in at 7-1. You've got Galahad Quest at 9-1 and then sort of 10-1 bar the others. Keith, Zanza, again, second place, ran on well, didn't he, against Cool Cody. But this is a very competitive handicap. Who do you like?
Well, it's a tougher ask for Zanza in one sense, because it's softer ground than when he ran in the December Gold Cup, the Racing Post Gold Cup. And that only makes it harder to do what they tend to do with him. They hold him up, he comes through late. I think it's because he's a bit funny to do that. And he didn't get there in time last time against Cool Cody. It's a slightly easier race, I think, in general terms, but I'm not sure about that. Ground will make his tactics any easier. There's a horse in this race that, from an each weight point of view, because 16 runners, most firms are giving you 5 places, a few are giving you 6. This is definitely an easier race than the Paddy Power Gold Cup that gets held in November over this roughly course and distance. It's on the old course, but this is on the new. And Simply the Bet's running that race. He finished joint 6th with Zanza, I think, having jumped the last and second. And he wasn't fit that day, plainly, you could see it. And since then, he's only run in the Many Clouds at Aintree. I wasn't mad keen on the ride he got, to be honest. It was a bit of a hold him up to get the trip and ground that doesn't really suit those tactics. And his jumping went on the second circuit because he was getting restrained. Whereas now Harry Cobden's on him and he's going to get ridden prominently again. He's already shown he can place in these races when he gets bounced out in front. 16-1 is a massive price each way. Look, there's probably likely a winner. It's Al Nadam's in a lesser race than he was favourite for when he got pulled out of the December Gold Cup. It is still quite competitive, but it's not as competitive as a Paddy Power. Simply the Bet is fitter now and a pound lower on the weights. Just an each-way snip for me.
Excellent stuff. So 16-1, Simply the Bets for Keith. Tom, who do you like in the race?
I think the Paddy Power, as Keith said, is the key trial for this race. Cool Cody might well have won that race if he didn't fall, leaving Midnight Shadow to win. I don't like Cool Cody in here, though. I think his career high mark of 147 is probably a bit steep. His record off marks of 140 plus, aside from winning last time, is pretty poor. However, I'm going to go with a horse, who was in that race but finished behind Cool Cody, but ahead of Simply the Bets, and that's Galahad Quest. He's only turning 6, remains lightly raced, and I'm going to go against my main rule when it comes to chases, which is not backing horses who fell last time out. However, on his best form, he doesn't actually have to improve much to win this race. He won a Grade 2 hurdle at this track in January 2020. He ran a screamer to take 5th in the Paddy Power Gold Cup, as well, I was just mentioning, behind Midnight Shadow. He was held up off the pace that day. I was on track. I backed Galahad Quest and I backed Midnight Shadow. And I was watching both of them, but mainly watching Galahad Quest, not realising the Midnight Shadow had a great chance coming into the straight. I thought Galahad Quest was just too far back. Got to be a bit more aggressive with him. Yes, that he fell last time out, but it came at Aintree and he was still travelling well in the race when he fell at the 9th. He's generally a brilliant jumper and that's why I'm willing to forgive him the fact that he fell last time. Normally I'd jump off a horse if they fell last time out, but I'm not going to do that with Galahad Quest. I think with just 10 stone 5 on his back, around 10-1, I think he's a decent bet.
Excellent stuff. That's Galahad Quest for Tom. We'll move on, guys, to the 2:35, the Paddy Power Handicap Hurdle. 14 runners in this one. And I would imagine you can probably make a case for quite a few in here with no less than 6 horses winning last time out. Keith, this looks competitive. What do you like in the race?
Yeah, it is a competitive race. And you talk about horses that won last time. I'm going to back when it was pulled up last time, actually. We've got a horse called Spirit of the Games, who you might have expected to run in the New Year's Day Gold Cup, the handicap chase. He's got a great record in races like that, despite the fact he tends to get held up and tactics round there. They tend not to suit that tactics. The hurdles course at Cheltenham is far kinder to horses that get held up early on. And Spirit of the Games, obviously, he's that sort of horse. He gets held up. And his mark is actually really quite generous. He's obviously a lot lower than he is over fences, but he's been second in a Pertemps qualifier in February off a higher mark. He actually finished not too far back in the Pertemps final off 141. He's £6 lower now. And he's often a horse that tends also to be ridden by Bridget Andrews. And now Harry Skelton gets a go on him, a stable jockey. I just think there's a lot to like about him. He's still got almost all his ability. I think we've seen that enough in recent starts. He was only ninth in the Paddy Power, but it was he was another one of those horses like Galahad Quest, like Zanza, who was just given far, far too much to do. And yeah, 16-1 for a horse that is clearly effective at the track and might have more in his favour here, reverting to hurdles. So yeah, it's a big price, 16-1.
Excellent stuff. Another 16-1 selection for Keith. Tom Collins, who did you like in the race?
It seems like Keith and I are reading off the same hymn sheet, but just reading slightly off different lines, because another horse that, like in the last race, where we both fancied horses in the Paddy Power Gold Cup, but two different horses, I fancy another horse that ran in the Pertemps final, not Spirit of the Games, but Ask Dylan. Now, this horse tends to hit a flat spot in his races, which is why he hasn't been the most prolific. He's only won 3 of 21 in his career, placed on a further 8 occasions. So he's been a bit frustrating for Fergal O'Brien, who's having a phenomenal season already. Liam Harrison takes the mount. He's an absolute steal for his claim, £3 claim. He's near enough a pro rider. He's as good as the pros. This horse, Ask Dylan, ran really well last time behind Kansas City Chief, who reopposes. I thought he missed one down the back, and that just didn't help him. He was off the bridle immediately. But he stayed on nicely for third. Well, if you look back to last season's form, he finished sixth in the Pertemps, one place ahead of Spirit of the Games, behind Mrs. Milner. And then he won a 3-mile hurdle at Cheltenham in April. Both of those races came off a mark of 144. He's now rated 141. I think he's well handicapped. He's around 10-1. Liam Harrison on board. I think he's a decent each-way bet.
Great stuff. Another 10-1 selection for Tom there. So it's a nice consistency on today's postcast. Let's move on to the 3-10 at Cheltenham, the Relkill Hurdle, known as the Dorman Engineering Relkill Hurdle this year. And we've got 6 runners. Indefatigable is a non-runner here. So 6 with Brewing Up a Storm, your 11-8 favourite. McFabulous, 5-2. Guard Your Dreams, 5-1. Stormy Island, which is the pair that won the King George, Willie Mullins with Danny Mullins on board at 13-2. On the blind side, 16-1. And Don's Levant at 25-1. Keith, Brewing Up a Storm looks the one to beat here. Have you got him beat?
I'm going to back against him, but with no great conviction, Ben, because as you see, his form sort of stands out a bit. He could just well win this. He's probably better than McFabulous, who needs to prove he's fit. Guard Your Dreams a little bit the same, although I think that horse might benefit from going up and trip a little. I have a little bet against Brewing Up a Storm, and it'll be on Stormy Ireland, who is getting all the weight because she's a mare, and has form that isn't far off these guys at her best. She had a time in Britain with Paul Nicholls, didn't do much for Nicholls, and then went straight back to Willie Mullins and got back to her very, very best immediately, winning a race at Fairy House at Easter, and then she actually won the Mayor's Champion at Punchestown. Cut the runs this season. She was in against Honeysuckle. She was in the Hatton's Grace on her only run over hurdles so far this winter. This is a much, much easier task than the Hatton's Grace. She's 13-2, 7-1. She, I think, might be the danger to Brewing Up a Storm. I'm not saying she'll definitely beat him, but he's 11-8, she's 7-1. I think that's a bit too far apart. I'll have a little bit on Stormy Ireland.
Excellent stuff. Tom, are you in the Brewing Up a Storm camp, or are you taking him on?
No, I'm in his camp, Ben. I think Brewing Up a Storm will win this race. Ollie Murphy hasn't had the best couple of weeks. He's only 1 from 30. Which isn't a big tick in Brewing Up a Storm's box, but I think this race is just perfect for him. Yes, he doesn't have the best Cheltenham record, and that is another doubt. However, he did fall when he was upside Birchdale in the 2019 Classic Novices Hurdle, so like, he probably would have won that race, and then we wouldn't be talking about his poor Cheltenham record. But at Aintree last time, when he smashed if the cap fits by 9 lengths on his comeback from wind surgery and off a break, I thought that was a career best. Ollie Murphy has been looking for a 2.5 mile hurdle. Obviously a graded status for this horse. There aren't many around. The Relkill looks the best one for him. And he's top rated in here off 156, off 158. Second run after wind surgery. You expect improvement from his first run back. He's just the best horse in this race. I think McFabulous will struggle to run to a mark of 155 on his comeback from a long layoff, despite the fact he's got a good record fresh. So yeah, I don't see a reason to oppose this favourite, Brewing Up a Storm.
Excellent stuff. So that's Brewing Up a Storm for Tom and Keith with Stormy Island. Guys, we'll be back in a second to preview the Savile New Year's Day chase along with the three races at Musselburgh.
Are you football crazy? Then Racing Post's new podcast could be just for you. Mark Langdon's Bet Clubs brings all of the best football betting insight from Racing Post's top football tipster. As well as that, Mark will be joined each week by a friend from the betting community to guide listeners through their best bets. Simply search Mark Langdon's Bet Clubs on your podcast app of choice and listen today.
Welcome back to the Racing Postcast. I'm Ben Blackmore, standing in for Bruce Millington today with Keith Melrose and Tom Collings previewing all of the ITV action on Saturday. We're back with the Savills New Year's Day Chase at Tramore, which is, of course, a race that Album Photo has dominated over the last 3 years, winning in 2019, 2020 and 2021. His odds on here is 4-11 to win for a fourth successive year. And obviously, it's a tried and tested method that Willie Mullins campaigns this horse, usually seen in this race before going straight to the Cheltenham Gold Cup. But interestingly, in October, Willie said that we might see Album Photo before this race. But Keith, that's obviously not been the case. What are your thoughts on Willie sticking with this method?
Well, it works for him, doesn't it? So you can see why he's done it. But I noted when this race got put as Album Photo's target again, I thought, imagine if Henderson had done this. You know, imagine the jip he'd have got for promising he was going to run this horse more often or whatever, and then just going back the same cautious route he always has. I mean, Album Photo runs in this race, we know that. I mean, the other thing about this race is there's six runners and five of them are trained by Mullins and the other by Elliott. If this race had been turned up in Britain, you'd have no problem seeing it for what it was. It's always good to see a horse that's achieved as much as Album Photo, but you know, there's reasons here that, I mean, I'm not getting excited about it particularly. And it was just a couple of things to note about it that maybe show that we're talking about Britain being perceived one way in Ireland another, but I'm not sure we're quite applying the same rigour on both ends.
Is there a betting angle in the race at all? Obviously, Album Photo 4-11, and you've got the likes of Hardline 10-1, Burrow St. 12s, Acapella Bourgeois at 14s. Is there a betting angle here?
I'm not so sure. I mean, obviously, Mullins is running Album Photo in the race, who's won two gold cups, and Mullins is running four of the other five. Now, those horses are generally more like Burrow Saint's been placed in the Grand National, and Acapella Bourgeois might just about be getting to the point where he's looking back in handicaps again and whatnot. So what level of sort of eyeballs out, ready to go these horses are is up for question. So in that regard, Hardline does become the natural one for the forecast. But I won't be doing that either way. It's just the way the race is sort of looking to my eye. But it's not the most inspiring betting race. But obviously, we watch it. We want to see Album Photo running because he's a horse that's won all he has, and we want to see him out.
We'll move on to Musselburgh now. The 140 is the aptly named Betway Hair of the Dog handicap hurdle. We've got Geronimo at 10-3 favourite. Strong Glance 7-2 best price. Cavernous Cross 9-2, Stoner's Choice 6-1, Ashington 7-1, Aurora Thunder 14s, Cassius Marcius 14s, and Voix de Rêve at 20s. Tom, we'll start with you this time in the 140 here. Is there anything that has caught your eye?
Yeah, I quite like Stoner's Choice off top weight. Fergal O'Brien, as I mentioned already, has had a brilliant start to the season. Max Kendrick is Stoner's Choice's regular pilot, and they were really successful as a team last year in the novice hurdle division. They won four times together, Max Kendrick and Stoner's Choice. Yes, they probably weren't the strongest races he was sent off, even money or shorter, for three of those four victories. However, he proved that he's got plenty of ability last year, Stoner's Choice. And he ended his campaign with, yes, a below par run in a listed race at Perth, but also he was sent off 13-8 against useful horses like 3 under through 5, Castle Rasheen, and potentially just a long season caught up with him. Now, this year, he hasn't run up to his best in two races at Kempton and Sandown, but he's been running against much stiffer opposition in Class 2 company. This is definitely a step down in grade. I think this track will suit him. He's never run at Musselburgh before, but a flat track generally does suit him. And he's not the best jumper, but he's got a huge engine and he can race prominently, which I think is crucial at Musselburgh. I think Ashington and Strong Glance, big rivals in here, both strong travelling sorts for leading connections. But I'm going to take the top weight, Stoner's Choice, at the prices.
Keith Melrose.
I'll have a very small bet in this race because it's on the outsider of the lot. It's on Voix de Rêve, who not even a year ago in that Scottish County hurdle they have on the big Cheltenham Trials weekend at Musselburgh finished second of 146. He's £7 lower than that now. And he's a better chaser, generally speaking. You know, he was third in a listed handicap at Ayr in April of 156. That's £17 higher than what he runs off here. And, you know, he probably is more of a horse that needs a maybe better than the Bear 2 miles or longer than the Bear 2 miles at Musselburgh. So going up and trip a little bit here might help him. And I'm not worried at all about his two runs so far this winter. It would be slightly unfair, but only slightly, to suggest he might have been a social runner on both occasions, to be honest. He was at Cheltenham in a good handicap and the vibes weren't quite right that day. I backed him and watched him drift and he was a bit free in front there, maybe blew the cobwebs off, and then he ran in the fighting fifth, which he'd had no chance, and he was 200-1 and he was tailed off in that there. But this is far more his sort of grade. He's got an easier task than he has in recent runs where he's performed very strongly. Yeah, I mean, it's 20-1, so don't go having a good bet on it. But in a race where there's not many other horses that are demonstrably as well handicapped as he is, I'll be having a little bit on at 20s.
Good stuff. Let's move on, guys, to the 210 at Musselburgh. It's the Betway Hog of an E handicap hurdle. Just the 7 runners here, so we haven't got 8 for the extra place. Favourite is Tommy's Oscars at 11-4. First Impression, 10-3. Anna Bonina, 9-2. Christopher Wood, 8-1. 5 and 28-1. Mick Maestro, 12-1. And Blakeney Point at 14s. Now, Tommy's Oscar beat the favourite in the last race, Geronimo, earlier in the season. So this horse could have a form boost at 145 following the previous race. Tom, is Tommy's Oscar the one to beat here? And is he your selection?
Yeah, he's undoubtedly the horse to beat. He's banging form. Anne Hamilton, the trainer, still underrated despite her incredible strike rate with her horses Pay the Piper being another. And Tom Midgley, who's a £7 claimer, takes the ride, which, you know, you get a bit of weight off Tommy's Oscar, who gets to now run off. It's still a workable mark and not the 150 that he's been given after his most recent Doncaster success. I don't really want to bet him at the prices, though he is the horse to beat. I wish there was 8 runners in the field because I'd be playing Christopher Wood each way for Paul Nicholls. He's got a real good record around this track. I won't be betting in the race. I think for win purposes, you can make a case for 3 of these. The 2 I've mentioned, Tommy's Oscar and Christopher Wood, and First Impression, who is probably going to be the selection. Now, I'm kind of reluctant to excuse him his early exit at this track 26 days ago because I thought he should have been winning that race, and he hadn't really jumped well on his previous start at Weatherby when he was very impressive, 1 by 5 lengths. He kind of stepped at the third. Now, he might do that again here because he does tend to take a few chances. However, if he puts in a clear round, then he has the cruising speed, the ability to win this race off a low weight. I think this race will probably set up for him as well because there's going to be some speed in here. He likes to track the pace. Henry Brooks a good rider when he has to ride coolly and patiently, and he'll have to do that on First Impression. So he'll be the selection, but I won't be having a bet in the race, Ben.
No worries. It's always a good reminder you don't have to bet in every single race. We'll move on, guys, to the 250 now at Musselburgh. The Betway Old Reeky Handicap Chase. We've got 5 runners here. Amoir de Nuit is your 9-4 favourite. Gold de Bois is 3-1. Gaelic Coast 4-1. Joke Dancer 11-2. And Niche 13-2. Now, Gold de Bois, Keith, is a horse who is potentially always the bridesmaid, but never the bride, with form figures of 3-7, 2-2, 2-2. Now, what is the first horse that springs to mind when you hear the phrase always the bridesmaid, but never the bride?
Oh God, you've put me on the spot there. This wouldn't necessarily be my answer if I was more considered, but the horse that just came in my head at the very second you talked about this was, do you remember Blazing Bailey, the Alan King staying hurdler that used to always finish second and third to English Driver? That was a horse that came to mind for me there. But I'd like a lot more time to think about that because there'll be better ones, and there's a horse running in the same colours as a horse in this race. A horse is called My Condor that used to finish, I don't know if he was always second, but he used to always trade about 1.1. But I think he had real breathing issues and never saw his races out. So that was another horse that always looked like it was going to win things and never did. And it's actually the horse in those colours that I fancy in this race. He was owned, I'm pretty sure, by Tim Leslie, who owns Gaelic Coast. And what you get in a lot of, sometimes you get races, you know, your horse is round faking them, well, what's going to win round faking them? The one that can bounce out in front and whiz round, great. Musselburgh is one of those tracks where it is a sharp course. It's a sharp course on the flat, let alone over jumps. And you get a lot of these small field chases here. And what tends to win, yes, horses that race prominently, but also horses that have got a really good turn of foot. And Gaelic Coast definitely has that. He's got at least two wins over course and distance and soft ground in smallish fields where he's turned into the straight. It's looked a little bit open the race, but Gaelic Coast just quickened up, bang, and it's all over. He did it recently. He did it in October. That was his last win. And he was only £3 higher now. He did it pretty comfortably. You'd have backed him to win that race again easily off another £3 higher. This is a bit of a stronger race, but I'm not sure that Amor Dumi is going to get it all up front, or Gold Dubois, depending if he strides on, because he's another one that does tend to race prominently. And Gaelic Coast, I think Gaelic Coast would be favourite if he turned up here after that Musselburgh win in October, but as it is, he went and ran at Newbury at the Ladbrokes Trophy meeting next time. And the tactics that he tends to get employed just don't really work as well around Newbury, where the fences are big and scary. And he had far too much to do in the race Fanyon Destreval won. You can chuck that run out. He's had a £2 easing in the weights as a result. I'm really quite strong on him for this because I think the conditions that are going to prevail here just absolutely suit Gaelic Coast. And he's a horse I think has still got a little bit more to give off 140.
Excellent stuff. So that's 4-1 on Gaelic Coast for Keith. Tom Collins.
I don't have a strong selection in this, and I'm almost convinced by Keith's argument there for Gaelic Coast. I made it between two, which were Gaelic Coast and Amor Dumi. I eventually sided with Amor Dumi when I looked at this race earlier for Bryony Frost and Paul Nicholls. Paul Nicholls got a phenomenal record when he sends horses up to the Scottish track. Amor Dumi has got plenty of class as well. We know that because, you know, he's been performing very creditably throughout his career, and he's finished third in the Silver Trophy earlier this season. Now, as a 10-year-old, you'd expect him to be regressing, but Amor Dumi seems to be retaining much of his ability. He's back down to a workable mark of 135. Bryony Frost does really well over chases. We know that on all Paul Nicholls trained runners. So he was the selection, but Gaelic Coast has got a great chance for Donald McCain. He's also got a phenomenal record around this track.
Okay, guys, that's the individual race previews done for ITV Racing on New Year's Day. We'll just give a quick mention to any other selections that you have on Saturday, on Sunday. Don't give away your naps in this period. We will come on to them shortly. Keith, is there anything else that's caught your eye on Saturday or Sunday?
Yeah, there's a few. I've got one I'll definitely be backing runs in the 135 at Catterick. There's a horse here called No Anxiety for Jamie Snowden, who sent a winner up to the last Catterick meeting. This No Anxiety really did jump well when he won at Hereford in October there. And bled next time. He ran over the same course and distance and bled. So hopefully we can chuck that run out. He's had 7 weeks off since to, you know, get back on track. And I think if he is back on track, he deserves to be favourite for this. And he's not as we speak. I'll have a little eye out on the 3 o'clock at Exeter. If you've got nothing better to do on New Year's Day, and I know most of us will, I'll be watching the 3 o'clock at Exeter because I think they're trying to, they've just been getting Dock Road ready in his run so far. And, you know, he won a maiden hurdle here at the tail end of 2020 when he was ridden prominently. He went straight over fences after that. And on both starts, he's been ridden a lot more patiently. His mark's come down £9 as a result, and now he's back at Exeter. Now, I've fallen into this trap an awful lot looking at McManus horses in particular on busy days, because it's where you can maybe have a bit of a gamble on one. We all know McManus likes a gamble. But sometimes on these busy days, you can't actually get the money on anymore. So maybe I'm reading too much into that. But basically, watch out for Dock Road. If the money comes for him, that'll be an extremely interesting horse in the 3 o'clock at Exeter. And then I've got, because we're recording this on Friday, there's not a lot of prices out for Sunday. So Sunday's hard. You've only got to find out, oh, I think that'll win sort of horses, rather than that's a big price. The 340 at Ayr, there's a 3 mile handicap chase. And there's a few you could have a little bit of doubts about. Clan Legend, has he ever really stayed this far? Ruth Aneur is, I've probably pronounced that wrong. This horse is coming back after quite a long layoff. And I'm going to be really interested in She's a Supermac, who ran in a course and distance race in November when last seen. And she was going to be absolutely no worse than second when she fell two out in that race. It's a race that's worked out reasonably well without coming out great. I mean, Clan Legend ran in it and he won next time at Aintree. So yeah, I'll be looking out for prices on She's a Supermac in the 3:48 Ayr on Sunday. But there's some actually good racing on Sunday. There's the Sussex National at Plumpton. I've not got prices yet, and there's nothing that stands out a mile, so I'll be definitely looking through that race again once the odds are out. But that's, she's a Supermax, the only one that I think, yeah, I think she might just win, you know, and I don't think she'll even be favourite. So, yeah, she's the main one on Sunday.
Great stuff. Tom, is there anything that's caught your eye on Saturday?
Yeah, just one on Saturday, Ben, aside from the nap, which we'll come to in a minute, and that's Honest Vic in the 12:50 at Cheltenham for Henry Daly and Richard Patrick. This horse is going to go off favourite. I think it's 4-1 currently, but I fancied him before I even looked at the prices. I think 4-1 is probably about fair. I was hoping for a bit bigger, if I'm honest, but he's run well on all four starts at Cheltenham, finished fifth on three occasions, including in the 2020 Coral Cup and in the 2018 Greatwood. He had then won a Potence qualifier in October last year, and he absolutely hacked up, beat a horse called Locks Corner, who was well treated. There, Honest Vic was running off a mark of 1-4-1. Now he's gone chasing this year. Henry Daly's taken a fair time to send Honest Vic over fences, and he's run creditably in three starts, but he's been running in small field races. There's been four runners in each of those three events. He needs a big field because he's a strong traveller who doesn't really like to be out in the open. He likes to get cover in his races and then canter through and then pick up in the straight. These races haven't developed perfectly for him. Two of them have been shorter than 3 miles as well, once over 3 miles at Exeter. He needs a trip and he needs cover in his races with an end-to-end gallop. He's going to finally get that here. He's down to a mark of 1-4-1 over fences. He's rated 150 over hurdles. There's definitely room for manoeuvre there off that mark. I think he's a decent bet at 4-1, Honest Vic, in the 12:50 at Cheltenham.
Okay, thanks, Tom. Let's get the naps.
This will not be beaten.
Let's start with Keith Melrose.
Yeah, naps should always be for win purposes. So my strongest bet on the day is actually that each way on simply the bets in the 2 o'clock at Cheltenham. But my strongest bet for win purposes is Gaelic Coast in the 2:50 at Musselburgh.
TC?
Well, I'm only going to be having a bet on about three horses on Saturday, I think, in the UK. Some US selections, but haven't got through to them yet. If anyone wants those, they'll be on the Racing Post app and website and in the paper. But the main selection in the UK is the nap, which is Cool Bane Boy in the 3:25 at Musselburgh. Now, if you look at his form figures, you'd think that Cool Bane Boy is regressing after he made a really promising start to his hurdling career in Ireland. He placed in a couple of maiden hurdles, but recently his form figures have been something like 4-7, 8-6-7 or something like that. Looks like he's going backwards. However, form figures don't always tell the story. He was campaigned over an adequate trip with by his former connections in Ireland for a long period of his career, and he shaped really well on his first start for Sandy Thompson. It says he was beaten a distance, 7th of 7, but he travelled into that race like the best horse by a country mile. He made a terrible mistake three out, and I mean terrible. The jockey did extremely well to sit that, and he kind of just let him finish after a layoff and didn't really ask for maximum effort after that. I think he's going to be making amends here. Connections have obviously given him some time off, 2 months. He's well handicapped. Providing he jumps well, I think the informed Ryan Mania is going to get Cool Bane Boy home. And he's around 7-2. I'd be happy to take a 2-point win selection. My max will be 3 points, but 2-point win selection on Cool Bane Boy in the 3:25 at Musselburgh.
Great stuff. Well, thanks very much to Keith and Tom for this Racing Postcast previewing New Year's Day in 2022. Happy New Year to you both. Hope you enjoy tonight for your chilled evenings. And a Happy New Year to all of our listeners. Thank you very much for tuning in throughout the year. And please remember to gamble responsibly.